This is Joe Basso from Music Radar, the place for music makers, and I'm speaking with Vivian Campbell, guitarist for Def Leppard. Vivian, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Joe.
There you go. Whenever I talk to guitar players, I'm always interested in what they're jamming on these days. Now, being that you put an album out a couple years ago of blues covers, I'm guessing that's the kind of stuff you might jam on in your free time. Is that right?
That and pop music, actually, because I love to sing. You know, I find singing to be very cathartic for the soul. So I love to just wander around the house playing my acoustic guitar and annoying my children by playing Beatles and Crowded House songs. When I go out and play, I generally tend to play blues. There's a couple of really nice blues clubs here in Los Angeles where I live. And, they have open nights and you can just go and sign up and just be some faceless, anonymous guitar player. You know, it's great. You never know what you're going to get, you know, who you're going to play with.
Now, talk to me about how you incorporate the blues into heavy metal.
Into Def Leppard, it's very difficult because Def Leppard is not a blues band at all, you know. Having said that, I mean, the great majority of the classic Def Leppard songs that we perform live predates my being with the band. I joined Def Leppard 16 years ago after the death of Steve Clark. And certainly, Pyromania and Hysteria were Def Leppard's biggest albums and most popular albums. And that's still, the songs from those records still make up probably 75% of our live show. So I'm playing a lot of what Steve Clark brought to the band. And what Clarky played as a soloist was very thematic and very melodic. So I generally tend to stick within that. In our live shows, there's only really one part where I get to go freeform, and that's at the end of the song, Love Bites, where I get to do a solo that I basically get my little blues licks in there. In the more modern era Def Leppard songs that I've been involved in since 1992, I definitely just bring more of a blues style to it. I mean, there's no mistaking who's playing the guitar solo. I mean, Phil Collins' style is very, very different from mine. Even though we do share some similar influences. My first guitar hero was such. The first guy that I actually tried to emulate as a player was Rory Gallagher.
That's right.
I learned most of my particular habits from him, good or bad.
In previous bands, in Dio and in Whitesnake, you played with two very strong personalities, and some would say maybe dictators. I imagine working with Joe Elliott, things are a bit different.
Yeah, and that was the beauty of it. I remember in 1987 when I was playing with version 37C of Whitesnake, I remember going to see Def Leppard, and that was the first time I saw the band when Steve Clark was still alive, obviously. And I could just sense, even though I hadn't met them at this stage, I was just standing in the back of the Joe Louis Arena in Detroit watching the show, and you could just get a sense that these guys were really a band, that they had so much more in common. They were all of the same age within a few years. They all kind of looked similar. I mean, you could tell they kind of grew up together, whereas the version of Whitesnake that I was in at the time had myself, an Irishman, an Englishman, a Cuban, a Texan, and a Dutchman, you know, on our age span over 20 years. So it was, it was difficult to find common points of reference other than the music, and it was the same with Dio. It was like being in a band with your dad, being in Dio from, because I was only 20 when I joined that band, and
right.
Ronnie was a lot older than me, and I actually lived with him for many months in LA, and it was very uncomfortable because I had nothing in common with him other than the music, and I couldn't find these common points of reference with which to have a conversation. So with Leppard, it's very, very different, and the audition process that I went through prior to joining Def Leppard was as much to do with my personality as it was to do with my playing or singing or songwriting. It was, they wanted to know if I was the kind of guy that could fit with the band, and they had a very specific set of criteria that they were looking for in this guitar player to replace Steve Clark. They wanted someone who had to be British, and I do hold a British passport, being from Belfast, which is the north of Ireland.
Okay.
But they also wanted someone of a similar age, and I'm the same age as, I'm actually in between Rick Allen, who's the youngest, and I think Rick Savage. So, you know, we're all within a few years' age of each other, and we all grew up at the same time. We're all weaned on the same media, the same popular culture. We all cut our teeth on Mark Bolan and T-Rex in the glam rock era in the early 70s, and we listened to Radio Luxembourg and Radio 1 as kids, and watched Top of the Pops on BBC One on Thursday night, and the old Grey Whistle Test on a Tuesday evening on BBC Two, you know, and read the same comic books, I mean, and watched football and wanted to be footballers until we saw, you know, these glam rock heroes on Top of the Pops, and that's what shaped our lives. So that was important for me too. For joining Def Leppard was really like a homecoming to me. I always felt that if I were born in Sheffield instead of Belfast, I probably would have been in Def Leppard from day one. I would have met Joe and Sav, and I would have been in there. I really feel at home with it.
Not that we can take everything on Wikipedia as fact, but I read that you were fired from Whitesnake because of a negative attitude. Is that true?
Well, I don't see how that's really possible, because I was only with Whitesnake for less than 2 years, and I've been with Leppard for 16, going on 17. You know, so if I had a negative attitude, I would have thought I would have been fired already many, many years ago. But that's an interesting point, because prior to joining Leppard, I had been in Dio, I'd been fired, I'd been in Whitesnake, I'd been fired. I did have a reputation in the industry of being difficult to work with and not being able to keep a job. And I'd like to say that the time has proven that wrong, you know. It was just a question of the right people. David Coverdale can be a difficult person to work with, and most lead singers are. I mean, when you get someone who has complete control over a situation where it's absolutely 100% their band, then chances are people are not going to feel a part of that, and they're going to migrate after a while. You know, it's going to be a revolving door, which Whitesnake has been, you know. I mean, you throw a rock in the air and you're bound to hit someone who's been in Whitesnake at some stage. You know, there's been so many musicians through it. With Dio, it was the same kind of thing. I mean, it was ostensibly it was presented as a band, and Jimmy Bain and myself wrote a lot of the music on those first three albums, but, you know, we were salaried guys, and we were earning less than our road crew for the first 3 years, and that was the issue that I took to Ronnie, and that's what got me fired. So, you know, I don't think that that's a bad attitude, you know. I was promised equity in a situation, and that promise wasn't delivered, and I was the first to call foul, and I was the first to get fired. You know, with Whitesnake, it was just a set of circumstances that was difficult. I wasn't permitted to write with Whitesnake, and so that was the first thing that got me thinking, okay, well, this is not going to be a long-term proposition. And I'd also just gotten married in 1987, which is the year I joined Whitesnake, and my wife and Tawny Catane didn't get along very well, and I was told that my wife wasn't welcome to visit me on the road, and you know, I'd just gotten married and stuff, and I knew that that was an untenable situation. So, you know, if that's interpreted as a bad attitude, so be it, you know.
This summer you're going to be co-headlining arenas with Whitesnake. Is that going to be awkward?
No, not at all, because Def Leppard are closing the show. So as long as they're going on before us, I have no issues with it at all. And actually, I hadn't seen David Coverdale for many years, and we did some European festivals together 2 or 3 years ago, and that was the first time I'd seen him since. And, you know, I'm not one to harbor grudges. I just, you know, life's too short for that shit, and I'm very happy where I am, and I hope he's happy doing what he's doing. And he's got a great band at the moment. Doug Aldridge is playing guitar for him, who's a phenomenal guitar player and a really, really nice guy. And you know, the band sounded great, and, you know, it's business, and I certainly have no issues with it whatsoever. I think if it were Dio, it would be more difficult for me, because I really had an emotional investment in Dio. I really believed in what I was doing, and I wrote a lot of that music, and it means something to me. With Whitesnake, I never got a chance to write, so I have no emotional attachment. It was just a job, you know.